Tonight, there's a subject on my mind that I've thought about for a long time and felt that this week would be a good time to speak on it, although there's different aspects of this subject that have come through and spoken on maybe in time past. I don't know that I ever spoke on this title, and it just has been very heavy on my mind this week. And over the years, I've observed people's lives and seen some very, very sad situations. And I will just tell you ahead of time, some of these things just grip my heart. And there might be some emotion expressed tonight. I don't know what about tomorrow night, but some of these things are really real to me. Things that I've seen, things that I've observed. There are a multitude of people in our world who are enslaved and furthermore incarcerated. Now we know that prisons and penitentiaries and other correctional institutions across our nation and across the world are full, and there's always need for more facilities and bigger facilities. However, this is not my subject tonight. So many people feel like they're free. In fact, they feel like they're free from the traditions of biblical practice. They're free from church standards and from obligation to do what God says, because we're living in the day of grace, and God's grace is so wonderful and so great. In a recent survey done across American so-called Christians, they were asked to define the grace of God, and 98% of the American Christians that responded said, "Grace of God is God's ability to overlook my sin." And they feel like they're free. And God have mercy on an American populace that believes that way, because sin will never enter the pearly gates of glory. We'll never get in. And yet, while they claim freedom, the Bible would tell us that they live enslaved and imprisoned to lust and evil of any imaginable thing out there. With the help of God's word tonight, the direction of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the saints, I want to preach on the title, "The Prison House of the Devil." It would be my sincere desire tonight that we would be convinced of the reality of this horrible place and resolved to never end up there. The sad truth, however, is that it is possible that even someone in this audience is bound by sin tonight. Or maybe some close acquaintance of ours right now is living without hope and without God in the world. You know, my friends, tonight we have an enemy who wants to capture us, enslave us, incarcerate us, and eventually destroy us both physically and spiritually. I so well remember, my friends, going into a rehab center in Costa Rica back in the day. And I saw their teenagers, the age of some of these young men sitting approximately in the center of this auditorium tonight, whose minds have been so distorted by drugs and fried by drugs that they have these gyrations and stuff like this that they will never, ever, ever stop. And they're young. They're young. They'll never quit it. And the devil sits back and laughs because one more life is ruined. At least it appears that way. And unless they get help, unless they find Jesus, they go to hell and burn forever. This might not sound like much, but one night I was on the way home from a speaking assignment traveling through a small town. Came to a red light and stopped, which is a good thing to do at a red light, I suppose. And a car came up beside me. And young ladies about what we have sitting in the center here tonight. Three of them in this little, I think it was, it doesn't matter which kind of car it was. Came up there and all three of them smoking. I'm telling you, my friends, if young ladies 17, 18 years old are smoking, and three of them in one car, at one time? What other things in their lives indicate the lost condition, the sadness, the whatever it is? And they're living enslaved to nicotine, getting started so young. And if you look in the Bob Jones biology book, the lung of a non-smoker versus the lung of a smoker, you know that it's a vast difference. And the devil doesn't give a care. As long as someone's enslaved, he doesn't care. They're under his control. An evangelistic effort in the country of Bolivia back in 2005. My wife and I were there. Last night of the service, it was mixed seating in that assembly, a building not quite this big. There was a lot of people present, and mostly community people were there that night. And I noticed in the audience that night, there was a man sitting on the edge of his bench, listening to the preaching of the word. He was sitting on the front edge of his bench. He was intent on listening to what was being said. I was enthralled. I was just totally amazed at his attention in the service. Listening and just intent, just gazing, not once flinching to the right hand or the left. He was just right on, watching and listening. And after the service, he and the lady friend that was with him wanted to talk, and they asked me to go visit with him, which wasn't very uncommon for us at that time. And so I went back in a room and we sat down. He had a sleeping baby in his arms, probably 6 months old, a picture of peace and tranquility. And the man says, "I've got a problem, and I came tonight with a hope that maybe you could help me with my problem." He says, "I have a wife, but this lady right here is not my wife." He said, "I was listening all evening long to see if you could find me an answer for this problem. This is our baby. This is our baby," referring to the lady that was beside him. I'm telling you, my friends, the snares, the prison house of the devil, it's a terrible place. And your heart goes out to him. Who says it? Your heart cries out and says it just can't be. But this man tells me he has another wife out there. And it's his wife. This and here isn't. For the devil, there's nothing too bad or too dramatic to do to anyone that is under his control. For as bad and wretched a place is in this life, it is totally worse in eternity. While we have life, we have the privilege and opportunity to escape the prison house of the devil. And some people do. But people cannot leave the devil's prison house on their own power. Once the devil has us, he will never turn us loose. If you don't remember anything else tonight, whenever you enter the prison house of the devil, he will never turn you loose. The devil will take, or can take, control of a small area of our lives if we let him. And without hardly knowing it, we can soon be bound and in sin's prison because of our choices. Remember this also, the chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Little by little, those little cords of habit begin. And the worse the habit, the harder the bondage becomes. And the more enslaved we are, and the more incarcerated we are. I wonder tonight if we realize how lost a sinner really is and how hopeless is their plight unless Jesus sets them free. Are you bound in sin's prison tonight, or are you free in the glorious liberty of the children of God? I do not want to unsettle a young person, possibly an adolescent here tonight, that is thinking about their soul's need. I do not believe that the lamb that the shepherd went to seek out in the rocks and mountains, I believe he was a lamb who maybe, let's just use the illustration, he grew up in the Christian home potentially, just using that for the example. He might know some things, she might know some things, and at a certain time in life, it happens like happened in Samuel's experience, that God comes and calls, "Samuel, Samuel." And maybe they've tried a few things, and maybe they have been a bit rebellious, and maybe a bit disobedient, and maybe they were just waiting for God to call them. If that is your case tonight, don't think that you're bound in the devil's prison house. Don't think that. If God's calling you, the only thing you need to do is respond like Samuel did, and it'll be fine. Follow Jesus. Love him with all your heart. You've got a bright future ahead. But the challenges tonight, and Brother Larry hinted at this in the opening, and I so much appreciated it. What happens when I tell God no? And I sit through another week of meetings and I say no. And my mom and dad, in their prayerful concern, or some good friend comes around and I say no. I'm telling you, when we start saying no and saying no and saying no to God, or when we knew the truth at one time and turn our back and says, "I don't care what you say. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what God says. I want my way. I'm going to live it out." I'm telling you, my friends, the chains of habit are soon going to be wrapping us very tightly. And we might find ourselves before long in the prison house of the devil if we live in that condition. I know that some young people get to 19 or more years of age before they ever. But if you talk to them, they're open and free, nothing to hide. They're willing to sing, happy, cheerful. I've seen it a time or two, not very often. It's not the normal thing, but it can happen. And I'm not here to unsettle anyone tonight in that condition. I need to let that clear. But getting back to what I was saying, just another illustration. I used to spend some time with a young man, and he'd sing this song, "The Hotel California." And again and again, he'd be out in the tractor working, and or he'd be here and there, and I hear this "Hotel California" song. And I ask him, "What's this deal about Hotel California?" He said, "I'm going to tell you something about Hotel California. Hotel California is a place that you go in, but you never come back out." Ah, that sounds like the prison house of the devil, in my opinion. And I've seen, in Central America, I've seen Hotel California listed as a kind of a name of a motel. And I almost tremble to think about such a place, because if the song means it, it said it, that if you go in there, you never come out. Oh, what a horrible place that would be. Now, I don't want you to think that what I'm saying tonight is fogey ideas. I invite you now to Ezekiel chapter 28. We're just going to let the scripture speak to us on this subject tonight. And let the Spirit of God use his word to touch our hearts if we have a need tonight. Who's in charge of the devil's prison house? We're going to read about him here. And I know that these are personages, like in this chapter, it's the king of Tyre. So we're going to read about him, but notice the language here. "Son of man," I'm in chapter 28 of Ezekiel, 28 of Ezekiel and verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, thy gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise," and catch that word, merchandise, notice that word, They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Go over to Isaiah in chapter 14. This idea that the devil will not turn you loose comes from this passage. Watch for it. I remember in San Ramon, Belize, back in the month of March, it was a tent meeting there, and I was preaching, and I read through this passage. And that evening while I was reading the scripture out loud, it just hit me hard, this idea that the devil will not turn you loose. And we're going to read it in just a moment. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall look narrowly upon thee and consider thee, saying... Notice what he does. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of his prisoners? He will never open it up. It will stay closed until he has everyone in his prison house doomed to eternal fire. He will not open the house of his prisoners. He will not. Revelation chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Note what it says. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. I told you to remember a word in our reading earlier about the king of Tyre, and the description there of what Lucifer's position in heaven must have been like. At least that's the way I understand it. If someone here has another interpretation on that, you're very welcome to set me straight. But I'm going to Revelation 18 just now and invite you there. I told you to note that word merchandise. And we're seeing the context of Babylon, and I don't know, there's a lot of ideas of what Babylon is. And one of the latest versions I've heard on it is U.S. of A. If you look at this entire reading here about Babylon. But that's not so much what I'm worried about tonight. I'd like us to look at chapter 18 and verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. And I see somebody here that is doing all this commerce and little by little enslaving slaves and souls of men. And their merchandise, it's nothing but a gamble, nothing but a, as it were, a playing of rook or something. Just gambling around to gain and pull souls. Souls from the kingdom of God. Souls that never had a chance. Souls of the heathen jungles and the arctics and wherever people are that don't know Jesus. Just to catch them, as many as possible. Throw them in that prison house and let them there till they die. That's what I see there. It's a Babylonian system. It's a world system. And the devil's in charge of it. And he doesn't care how he gets us or which trap he uses. There's multitudes of them. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give them repentance. And we already heard about that this evening through the devotion of our brother, to the acknowledging of the truth. And for what reason? Verse 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And you know what? That's exactly the way the devil works. He has a snare, and people are taken captive by him at his will. I want to go yet to Hebrews chapter 2. And whenever I think of this passage, I think of an encounter. You mothers and fathers of little children and older children, and you think about maybe it has happened in this assembly, an assembly this size, it surely has happened that you had a stillborn, possibly an assembly this size. And there was such a thing, that trip we made in 2005. There was a family, a young Bolivian couple across the town, and they said, Virgil, do you have any words of consolation for this couple? The Catholic priest that has that gold line cathedral in the middle of that town, a man that is very powerful, he told them, this young couple that just lost a stillborn child or a newborn child, he told them, I want you to know that that child of yours is in a very dark place. It's a horrible place where that child is. And of course the idea is he needs a couple more bolivianos, a couple more coins, as much as you can get out of them to get that child out of purgatory. I'm telling you, my friends, the slavery of the devil is horrible. And you see that weeping couple there, and what can we tell them? Well, first of all, I told them what I told you last night, that their angels do always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. They're dead, no dark place. And then these verses, I don't know if they ever meant more to me than they'd meant that day. But I love to read them. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Children partakers of flesh and blood. Jesus took part of the same. That's what it's talking about. That through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can you imagine someone fearing death and fearing that a child would die in infancy before they were baptized, which is exactly the idea of the Catholic Church. If their children aren't baptized, they're not saved and they're not going to heaven. And that is not God's will. I told you that last night. But holding them under that fear so they get more money out of them, my friends. It's a sad world. It's a sad world. But the thing is, the devil's a professional at gradualism. Someone has said that seldom Christianity is lost by a blowout. It's often a slow leak. You know how a tire is? Yeah, a tire, a little low, maybe just take it to the air compressor, out a bit of air. Now it's up to 35 or so pounds. We'll drive it a little bit. You know, a couple days later, wow, that thing looks like it's low again. I wonder what's happening. Christianity is seldom lost by a blowout. It all seldom happens. I'm done with this Christian business. It seldom happens that way. It's often just little things and little things. And the devil, little by little, is starting to weave those chains or those threads of habit, bad habits, and stuff we know we should stand out of, but oh, it's so tantalizing. Oh, it looks so pretty. Oh, the sights and sounds. Oh, the movies. Oh, the entertainment. The devil's a professional at gradualism. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. Think about the chains of anger. Yeah, I know, I have a little anger issue, you know. Just once in a while, I just kind of lose it. Yeah. And my friends, really? Anger needs to be brought under control. It just does. How many children have been corrected in anger one time and another time? Disciplined in anger, spoken to in anger. And children get up one day, and adolescents or teenagers, I want nothing to do with this conservative business. My parents are such angry people. They fight like who knows what. They yell at each other or who knows what. And the devil's got us in his prison house. We may as well admit it. We're angry people. We're impatient. We can't stand each other, and yet in church, everything's, yeah, dressed right, got your shoes tied there, got the right color shoes on for sure, and the color combination's what we're looking for in church, and yet the minute we go in the car, the children know another life out there, another life at home. God have mercy. God have mercy. Gambling, about a mile and a half from my house, the Hollywood Casino is. And our neighbors, ungodly neighbors, people that really don't profess much religion whatsoever, say that our community has degenerated terrifically since it's come there. And of course, we're new in community where we live, 5 minutes from Providence Church. We're new there. But they say that cars come out and stop dead right out of gas, right outside the front door close to our house there, because people have gambled away every last cent that they had and have nothing left, and then come up and knock on the door, hey, can you give me some gas? My car's out of gas, and they just came away from gambling away. How much of it? I'm telling you, the devil doesn't care which way he gets you. Pornography. I'm going to tell us something tonight. The one young man that I saw in my life that was so addicted to pornography would walk around barefooted and without a shirt on his back, because he told me, I will give my last penny for more porn, to get my hands on more porn. And not only that, one time he found an autistic girl or some kind of poor, limited, retarded, or whatever proper word is. I don't know what proper word to use. He found a girl like that somewhere, and God forbid, it was a terrible situation, because he was so devilish in his attack on her. They had needed to use pieces of firewood to beat him off. I'm telling you, my friends, the devil's a cruel, cruel taskmaster. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Immorality and the tangled web that it makes in our lives. Lying. Just a little white lie. You know, yeah, I probably knew. I kind of slid through that council meeting. I talked about that on the Monday night. Yeah, kind of slid through the council meeting. I know I'm kind of, probably ought to wise up a little bit. And yet we lied. And how many people have gone through one council meeting and two and three and find out that they've been living in this kind of sin for years? Oh, my friends, the devil doesn't care. If he's got you bound, he has you bound, and he will not turn you loose. Occult practices. Friend we were working with, another brother and I mean, he called us over one night, said we got to do some work with this dear friend. He's got some real problems, and I mean the spewing of occultism, the horrendous pictures that he could tell you about, word pictures that are not fit to repeat. He just spewed them out, story upon story upon story of all kinds of moral diversions and drinking and bloodshed and sacrifices and horrible stuff. And I just knew we had to do something to try to free this man from his occultism. He was in the devil's prison house and bound tight. Brother and I worked with him, and I know that evening he said the right words, but I'm afraid it was words that went through his ears and out his mouth, but I don't believe his heart and mind were ever changed. Because as far as I know, he's still living there tonight. In the prison house of the devil, the vices, the drugs, the alcohol. Should I say it? The internet addiction, the gaming. There are people tonight who are basically starving because it's time for them to eat something, drink something, sleep, and they're gaming themselves to death. That's a fact. Fear and anxiety. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All the fear that the devil brings upon us, the doubts and fears and anxieties. And little by little we go down and go down and go down. And please, my friends, I want to speak very gently. Anyone who has had this type of worries and issues in their life, God is so good. Healing is possible. I mean, it is. God can do wonderful things. I know that it's tough. I know that it's tough. That is real close to me. The fashions of the world. I'm telling you, you never have enough money to keep after all the fashions of the world. If you're following fads and fashions, you'll never be able to keep after because there will always be more. And I watched, when we went to do a little shopping, I needed a tool or two, and my wife was looking for a certain item she needed. And I was just watching people come in there, and it wasn't even a very busy store, and they were just out there looking at all this and all that and all the next thing. Just was a short time I was there, but you can get the idea. They'll never keep up with it. There's never enough money around to stay after the fashions of this wicked world. Never enough. And yet they're in the prison house of the devil, and yet to show up with this new type of jewelry, this new type of apparel, or lack of it. They're within the in crowd now. And just let it go. About 6 months, it'll be time to update all over again. And some of you probably have seen situations where you go to a house and there's, in one lady's closet, there's 40 pairs of shoes, and you wonder, why? Well, these had already gone out of fashion. It's time to get another pair. Let the credit card pay for it, I suppose, and they're in the devil's prison house and don't know ever how to get out. All the rebellion of our generation, the rebellion that rock music has brought to our culture, and even brought into some of our churches. Oh, my friends, rebellion. And if you're in the devil's prison house, we'll never turn you loose. Bitterness. Oh, the bitterness. The bitterness that some people carry 1 year and 10 years and 20 years. They carry it. And don't let it go. The bitterness of people's hearts and minds. Apostle Peter told somebody this way, repent thou therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness. And it wreaks havoc in homes and churches and families all across our world. Worldly music and entertainment. I'm telling you, country music very quickly gets a hold of me. If I'm in a TSC store, I had it from teenage. Very quickly, I'm following the lyrics. And I just thank God when I go out to my vehicle, I'm free of it again. Because I know that music has a way of getting into me real quick. Maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but music does. And then the entertainment, the flashing screens, the TV screens, the cell phone screen. I'm telling you, folks, entertainment. And I'm very convinced tonight that one of the key elements, besides the vices and addictions that we've talked about, that's taken people down to the pits of hell, is entertainment. I'm telling you, you can walk into an old people's home, probably in your local town here, and you can walk in there and you can see people that are on oxygen as thin as any imaginable object, skin and bones, and barely able to open their eyes, and the screen is showing NASCAR and beauty queens and all that type of stuff. And the devil's hauled them to the pits of hell, entertained, hour trust me. I'm almost started in Spanish there, hour after hour. And the young people get on the school bus with the earbuds in the ears, and what are they listening to anyway? And watch them in the airports. It's very hard anymore to walk up to somebody in an airport and have a decent conversation. As soon as they're in the plane, their eyes are either on the screen in front of them or else no talking to him. He's got his earbuds in. Broken relationships. There's words of a song, broken relationships had used me till I was done in. And I met a man like that. Some of my boys are here tonight. They saw him too. Used to be a Navy SEAL. Drank. Had half a lung. His lung condition got so bad that it didn't supply enough oxygen to his body. And consequently, the one leg that had been injured in combat and post-trauma stress disorder that he had, they had to amputate the one leg. I'm telling you, that poor man, I was driving down 22 one evening after a church picnic, and I saw this pickup stop dead along the side of the road and crutches in the doorway with an open door. It was dark. And I thought, man, there must be a problem there. I turned the car around, backed up, came back there, and this man stumbles out of there. I don't know what, and he used any kind of profanity imaginable. And I told him, sir, can I help you with something? He said, I just don't know. And he went, and there again, the chains of the devil. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible, the way he talked. I went home and got a bigger vehicle because I had just a little four-door car. I couldn't pull him very well. And came back and he had somehow blutzed, if you use the Dutch word, had blutzed his car home to his place. It was right close by. He had been able to start it and stop it and start and stop and get it home. And he was standing out there in the intersection on that pair of crutches. Oh, I'll tell you what, he said, I was just about ready to throw myself out in front of that tractor trailer. It just went past here, and you came right in time. He said, I just guess I didn't do it. I mean, he threatened suicide. I don't know how many times in that little bit of time I was talking to him, but he said, I know I'm going to hell, and I know I'm going to hell. He said, I've got my sister by the throat because of something she did to me years ago. He said, I ain't forgiving her. I'm going to hell to have her by the throat doing it. He said, you don't want to go to hell, he told me. He said, in hell you burn and you burn and you burn and you hear all kinds of stuff. It's horrible there. But he said, I'm going to hell and I'm taking my sister with me because of broken relationships. I'm telling you, this world we live in is horrible. And the devil won't turn you loose either. Hypocrisy. All hypocrisy can sneak in so quietly. So quietly it can come into a person's life. You can keep it all good in public. No one needs to know what you're doing in your bedroom at 11:30 at night. No one needs to know what you're sending texts and pictures here and there across the country. No one needs to know. You're a good church member. And the devil, little by little, captures us and has him in his prison. Oh, my. And then I think of that bad one, drunkenness. I just thought of it as I was preparing for this message. That day I was walking down the road from a neighbor up the road from us in Costa Rica, in the house where my parents lived before they bought the farm. There was a man living there with his girlfriend. This man was lying out at the end of his little walk that went up to the house where my parents' driveway is now. He had his arm stuck inside a culvert that ran underneath that little entrance. He was lying down in the ditch full of water. He was yelling at the top of his lungs, "Kill me! Kill me!" He was yelling it just profoundly and profusely, "Just kill me!" And he All kinds of other profanities. He was as drunk as anything, laying in the ditch and soaking wet. And his girlfriend was there. Hey, we can help you here. We can help you here. And I came up and I tried to help her and pull him out of this gutter. I said, no, sir, we ain't killing you. I started getting kind of frank with him. I said, sir, we ain't going to kill you here. This is nothing to do to you. We got to get you up to the house. Kill me, just yelling at the top of his lungs. So somehow, and his arm was like an iron grip inside that concrete culvert. I don't know if he had it wedged sideways. We worked and worked and worked to get that boy loose. Yelling and carrying on, and finally started calming down. I started praying, God help us with the situation. After a while, we got him, and she and I got each side of him and got his stumbling feet up that steep hill. It was terrible steep to get up to that house. And then, you know what I saw when I got there? A little girl, about 3 or 4 years old, sitting on the step and watching it all happen. And I'll tell you, my heart was broken. Here's this girl's dad, as drunk as anything. And there sits this little girl, watching it all, hearing that yelling from down there. What kind of fear does that put in the child's heart? God have mercy. They're in the prison house of the devil, and he won't turn them loose. I got down on my knee, just like down like this, in front of that little child, just got down and said, I don't even remember what I said, some words of consolation, some words of something. What would Jesus do? I think I've spent enough time on that, descriptions and things, and the addictions of any one of these things and way more. The question tonight we must yet answer is there freedom from the prison house of the devil? Is there freedom from the prison house of the devil? And the answer is a resounding yes. Yes, there's freedom. Because of a situation, a series of events, my wife and I sat down a couple months ago with a lady. She went down some of this very list I just went over. And she says, furthermore, I've got some stuff printed on my body. Vulgarities printed on my body. And she went down a lot of this same list, and she says, is there any hope for me yet? She said, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've... A lot of we just named here. Is there any hope for me yet? What would you tell them? Is there hope? Yes. Yes, there's hope. God knows who you are and where you are if you are in sin's prison tonight. God knows who you are and where you are. That's good news, my friends. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Don't have to turn there. These I'm going to just read. For he, the Lord, looketh down from his sanctuary from heaven. From heaven the Lord did behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Oh, that sounds like good news. God even looks at them. He sees them. Those that are appointed to the pits of hell, he hears the groaning. Oh, my. The groaning. The groaning of the soul that's in trouble. The groaning of that girl that just got an abortion and feels the mental anguish and aftermath and the body responding to all of that and the emotion that even it is for those of us who do it God's way. And imagine if it was done in sin. Oh my, the groaning, the weeping, and the crying. And I just read a story recently, I had my wife read it too, about a testimony of someone that came through that kind of trauma. And all they did was repeated the list all over again, because the devil gives you more and more sin with less and less pleasure, and that makes the addiction all the worse. And that's the way the world is, and that's the way the devil is. And God from heaven hears the groaning of the prisoner in the prison. Bring forth my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Oh, I'm telling you, there's some people that are in the prison house and, oh, if only I could get back to church. If only I could be what I used to be. If only I could be a child again and live a free life. Go back to Sunday school and sing those songs. Bring forth my soul out of prison, and maybe something happened. Maybe their girlfriend just dumped them, or who knows what, or a good friend was just killed in a cycle crash, or who knows what. Well, suddenly it all comes back. Deliver my soul out of prison. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. I'm going to read it again. Is there hope for the prisoner in the prison house? Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And if that's you tonight, or if that's one of your relatives, I'm going to tell you a resounding yes, there is possibility of getting out of prison. Praise God. God has decreed that the captives can go free. And I hope that I'm not going to do anything out of order tonight by reading some prophetic scriptures that to my mind speak volumes on this subject. Zechariah 9, verse 11 and 12. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to try to scan through a few of these. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. Imagine being in the prison and no water. No water for the soul. Nothing to satisfy the need. Only more addiction and more sin. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. That was Zechariah 9. We're going to Isaiah 49 now. Is there hope? What is God's answer for the prisoner in the prison house? Isaiah 49, verses 8 and 9. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of thy people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. And to them that are in darkness, show thou yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Can you imagine God showing up at the door of the prison house when he heard the groaning in there? Jesus Christ the Lord. And says, on the merits of Calvary's cross, this soul may come out of the prison house. And says, go forth, get out of here. You're not bound here anymore. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. And the word says it's possible, and it is. Chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Is that your Jesus tonight? He can bring forth the prisoners out of the prison house. There's no water in there and there's no light in there. It's dark in the prison house of the devil. Prophetic of our Lord Jesus. As you think about what we're talking about tonight, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Wow. Jesus Christ can open the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Oh, there's a lot of mourning in that prison house tonight. A lot of it. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Whenever a soul gets out of the prison house, I'm telling you, it's a reason to glorify God. Praise his name. I'm going to remind us of a little truth tonight. The psalmist says in Psalm 8 that God with his fingers... Imagine the fingers of God. Hands that are big enough to hold the waters of the earth in his hands, the oceans and the lakes. In the palms of his hands, a God that's that big. He says he with his fingers. Fingers. made the starry heavens, the sun, the planets, the galaxies. All the stuff that scientists haven't even discovered is out there. God did it with his fingers. But I'm telling you tonight, when it comes to rescuing a sinner from the prison house, he uses his mighty arm. Do a study on that sometime. The arm of the Lord and what it can do. I'm telling you, that is such a power that no one can hold him back when he decides to move. And he hears that groaning and that little prayer in there somewhere, somebody. He gets his arm busy. Oh, God's almighty. Oh, let me tell you tonight. There's good news if you're bound tonight. It's a cost. It's not easy. But it's possible. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Brother Larry just told us that a little while ago. Replace that error with truth, and it'll make you free. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, he says, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the Spanish makes it all the stronger. It says, he that committeth sin is the slave of sin. And he's bound by sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He that committeth sin is of the devil. This is another passage. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you believe it tonight? Do you believe it tonight? As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in his goodness has let me return to share with his children this lesson I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Do you want to be free tonight? Do you want to be free from the prison house of the devil? Let's bow our heads for prayer.